Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/Wondery and use code Wondery for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/Wondery, code Wondery.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
That's almost the beginning of the Stone Temple Pilots.
Oh yeah. And it's also almost the beginning of Whole Lot of Love.
Oh yeah.
There's a band called Led Zeppelin.
Not a fan.
What?
Not a fan of Led Zeppelin.
What the fresh?
Yeah.
Don't you mean there's a band called Let's Rip Off All Those Old Blues Tunes?
That was all of rock and roll.
Mm-hmm.
That was all rock and roll.
Not Dave Matthews.
In the early days.
Matthews ripped off other black people's music.
I don't understand.
Yeah.
He ripped off the jazz.
Yeah.
Basically, any kind of musical anything we have.
Watch your mouth, Chris Hardwick.
Was ripped off of black people.
Oh, okay, that's okay.
Yeah.
I think black people deserve reparations for that alone.
Dude, just to even think about one of the best punk bands from the 80s is Bad Brains. You know, and all just black dudes with dreadlocks fucking ripping it up. Band in DC.
You know, band I was a real big fan of? Fucking. Real Big Fish. What'd you say?
Real Big Fish.
Real Big.
Yeah, Real Big Fish.
Yeah. The ska. Remember when ska came back?
And I do. I was there.
No, it was the band Living Color.
Living Color. Cult of Personality.
Yes.
Glamour Boys.
Corey Glover. Awesome.
Yeah. Wearing body glove outfits.
Sure. Fucking loved Living Color.
That's a good band.
Which I always confused with In Living Color.
They tried to sue In Living Color.
Not did In Living Color have them on?
The band tried to sue just because it was, you know.
The name of their band.
Yeah. But they could do what they want to do.
Let's start a show called In Dave Matthews Band. It's just a sketch show.
Some kid on Twitter asked me today.
Hey guys, we're just meditating on our bus.
What do you think of the new Blink-182?
Really?
Yeah.
I
said if I want to listen to pop punk, I listen to Screeching Weasel. And the kid said, I asked for your opinion and I got it.
Hey guys,
Twitter understands.
If you listen to the podcast, you know that Jonah Ray, as lovable as he is sometimes, if you come at him the wrong way, he's got teeth. He's got teeth.
Rare.
He's got teeth. But let's talk about the Nerdist TV pilot for a second.
We were on TV last weekend.
The Nerdist TV show aired. And It was. I didn't watch the show. I didn't watch it because I'd already seen it, and I was performing at Hamilton College, an hour outside of Syracuse, New York, while the show was airing.
So they weren't watching either.
They were not watching either. The mostly disinterested parents who were there watching me try to edit out the word cock in my bits on the fly did not.
Why were their parents at the college?
It was parents' weekend in Hamilton College.
Fuck me.
So I show up and they're like, so it's parents' weekend. And there are families there. People, like, I had to kind of playfully, aggressively scare some people away who had like little kids with them. And I'm like, guys, really, there's going to be some filthy language. If you have a problem with that, now's a great time. Now is a great time to not be here anymore.
Yeah.
So
Tom Papa would have rose to the occasion.
He would have been amazing. It's too bad he wasn't there because I was there and ended up just talking to the crowd more, which is what I do when I feel like I can't rely on my material.
Whoa,
Chris, I can't believe you didn't put your phone on silent. You know, it's just a fucking switch.
They'll get that in about 3 weeks.
Yeah, they'll get that. We did have a guest at the time. Besides, it's fun to hear my TARDIS ringtone.
It is.
My new ringtone is more awesome.
Mine's still
better than this.
Too.
It's better than that.
It is better. Hang on.
What
ready?
Is it?
Ready? Ready?
I've been ready.
How ready are you?
I was ready an hour ago when you started this.
You had to say ready on a scale of 1 to 10. Here we go.
Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed. Roger, Tranquility. We copy you on the ground. You got a bunch of guys about to turn blue. We're breathing again. Thanks.
So, do you answer your phone?
That's not a ringtone.
It's a ringtone.
It's a thing that happens when your
Neil
phone
Armstrong,
is getting a phone call.
That's a thing tone.
Charlie Duke.
The thing tones.
I also have one with Kennedy's speech, but I won't bore you.
Which Kennedy speech? Marilyn, suck my cock.
We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other thing.
Decade.
Not
go fuck yourself.
They are easy, but because they are hard.
That's the ringtone that you should assign to anyone from Boston who calls you.
I also have Dave Matthews, man. It's so good, you guys.
This week on Myra's Ringtones.
Yeah.
Regina Spektor.
These are just songs that we can't afford to play.
And the TARDIS.
Yeah, that's
they're
good.
All there.
Yeah.
They're
those
all
are all your ringtones. Do you assign them to different people?
Yeah.
What do I get? The TARDIS?
You get the TARDIS.
I make my own ringtones on GarageBand.
You made that? You made that?
Yeah.
That's a song you wrote?
Yeah.
That's fucking great.
It's all loops and stuff, but, you know. Then I...
That one's pretty dancey.
Yeah, this is the fist pumping in the air. Yeah, I used to really, when I first got GarageBand.
Oh, I like that one more.
Those are great. Thanks. I made this on Logic Pro, which I used a lot for. I used this for music beds.
You do beds, yeah.
In the beginning. This is all loops that I pulled.
Mm.
Oh, it's so nice.
Coming
this
at
song
you.
Is the song is called Actuator.
It's brought to you by Falcon Northwest.
Morning becomes eclectic.
Wait till it kicks in. Here we go. Just makes me all dreamy. Here we go. Come on, you guys.
That's good.
Wait, there's a stand-up bass part coming.
Oh, ready? Get ready for that.
Here we go. Here it comes.
Da, da, talking over my music bed. Here it comes, the part with the stand-up. Here comes the stand-up bass now.
There it is. Yep. And then that ends in a second. What if this was 10 minutes long and I just talked you through it?
This is we're doing the equivalent
here's what I wrote, guys.
Yeah, I was going to do that joke, too. Yeah. I was.
I worked at Apple, and they own it.
Tonight. That's Jonah. You know what that is?
There is a.
That's the theme. That's the theme from your '80s show, The Ray Team.
Hey.
The Ray Team in color.
Hey, you got next Thursday. It's you,
tonight's episode.
You and,
Shave my murder.
You and Kevin are doing Gadgetron.
But
next Thursday.
Okay.
And then you and Kevin the week after.
That's good information right now.
Yeah.
glad to know that. It's really great information.
Anyway, we were on TV.
It just popped up on my phone.
We were on the Telemovision.
Telemovision.
The Telemovision for the Nurse TV pilot. And I have to say that I was so overwhelmed with tweets and I've worked on a lot of stuff for a lot of years. And I've never seen a response to anything like I got for this show.
Get that Twitter response for Singled Out?
No, back then it was AOL chat rooms. And every 10 tweets when someone was not talking about Kurt Cobain
was A slash S slash L.
Yeah, it was, someone was not saying R.I.P. Kurt. it was Chris Hardwick is a piece of shit. So this was, and rightfully so.
I'm sorry about that.
No. I deserved it. So I had floppy hair. I talked weird. I was full of fake bravado.
Clothes were big.
They were big. It's almost like I came from my job at the gas station to host a television show. Oh, the 90s.
Those were those times.
The 90s.
I wanted your hair. I really wanted your hair, and I couldn't get it because my hair is curly.
It is.
And I was like, I want Chris Hardwick. Yeah.
No.
Never panned out.
Sorry. Sorry about that.
Nowadays.
You got on this podcast.
You got that? Yeah.
I guess so. I mean,
this is sort of like the hair of the Nerdist Industries empire. Yeah. And I use empire with a small E in quotation marks.
Ooh.
But anyway, it just I'm not accustomed to getting that many nice positive things from people about stuff. And it while the show was airing, it took me an hour to go through them just while the show was airing. So I don't know what that means. I think it was thousands of tweets, and I don't know what that means as far as how many people watch the show. It could have just been those 2,000 people who watched the show.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is, we have amazingly supportive and sweet fans who listen to this show, and then people who bought the show on iTunes and Amazon to support it.
I bought the show. Did you buy the show?
I also bought the show.
Matt, did you buy the show?
Greta bought the show.
Matt, did you buy the show?
My girlfriend Greta bought the show.
Matthew,
you have two sources.
You spent $700 to get your fucking Omega watch fixed.
First of all, $450. So let's not.
Let's not make my point just as strong as it was
let's
before.
Not say
yeah,
that.
Yeah. It's still more than
$1.99.
Yeah.
Guys.
$1.99.
No, I just thought you wanted to do more and you wanted to support the show. No, I just know that I guess I was wrong because I thought you might want to keep on making that show.
I'll buy it next week.
Why next week?
Because the numbers will be down a little bit then, and then I'll kick them back up.
After they stop caring about the numbers?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good plan. Good plan. I like that plan.
You can just run into BBC with your receipt from iTunes when the doors, right when they get locked, and you can pound on the glass.
I'll just forward it to them.
So anyway, I don't know what it's going to mean for the show. I don't know how the show performed. I didn't ask for numbers because even if they gave them to me, I don't know what I would do with that information because I don't know what it is that BBC needs to see to say, let's do more of these.
What they normally get, right?
I don't know. I honestly don't know.
I bought 30 Nielsen boxes on eBay, and I watched it on all of them.
Oh, that's so nice.
I probably got 100 share.
That's well, I don't know, but the show was super fun, and I hope we get to do more. But if we don't, then we were really lucky even just to do that one, and then have the merit.
Absolutely.
That's normally not how television works. Normally, they shoot a pilot, and then if they don't want to pick it up, then you never hear about it.
Just a switch.
Big C.
You never hear about it again.
What? Yeah.
Second time.
Like mine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, well, yours got on the internet, and that was good. People got to see it eventually. So it's not like olden times.
Yeah, I mean,
it would just,
disappear.
It's not olden times when you had to go around to each of the mining camps and perform
Speaking
your show
of
live.
Olden times. Did you see the trailer for the Star Trek: The Next Generation Blu-ray?
No.
They went back and went through the 25,000 reels of 35mm film. And recaptured it all and then re-edited everything to up-res it because all of it was shot and then put to video and they couldn't make video out of Blu-ray. They couldn't make a Blu-ray out of video.
That's a lot of work.
So they had to go in and actually recut each episode and then they're doing the effects over.
Wow.
So basically what we understand is that you're excited about everything else except the show you were just on.
Yeah.
I'm very excited about the show.
Hey, guys, the Nerdist Pilot was fun. But did you hear they just released Star Trek The Next Generation on Blu-ray?
Hey, you know that thing, that the way you got onto television?
You know how you weren't on television before last weekend?
I've been on a number of shows getting hit by a golf cart, you guys. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know what you're talking about.
So you hold those to the same regard as...
the show that did not ridicule you?
Similar.
Hang on. No, you're right.
It's my job.
My favorite moment is just when he goes, yay!
And then you just started to look at
it.
It was really
so hard.
I mean,
so hard not to laugh.
You know, they said that, some people said it feels like the show was chopped up a little bit and short. And it's like, yeah, we recorded, a 45-minute show and then they had to cut it up. And my intention had been to release that as a podcast, but... What I discovered and then if we ever get to do the show more, then I promise this was a learning experience.
Yeah.
None of us ever thought this show was going to air, by the way.
Oh, we don't have the recording of that, or is it just too much?
There were stop downs, and then we had that, they had the tape machine malfunction. Yeah, I said tape machine malfunction.
Oh, I remember that.
And so that was like 30 minutes, and so all of that is just one big long file, and it just
it would require so much editing.
Give it to me. I'll get it done eventually.
I don't even have it. They didn't even give it to me.
Can I get it?
You probably could get it.
Then I'll see what I can do.
We'll see if we can get it. But anyway,
but we did have a long form conversation with everyone that was on the show. It was that in and on this show we don't have to stop for commercials or make sure the show
moves
forward and and stuff like
that. This commercial disclaimer break was brought to you by The General.
We learned things like
6200 now.
It's insurance. I'm gonna
Matt Smith, for instance, told us, and you guys didn't see this on the television, that the first video he ever bought was RoboCop.
Oh yeah, we had that conversation.
It was a good conversation.
Yeah, so anyway, it was I don't know, I don't know. I don't know anything about anything, but it was fun and
it was great.
Yeah, and thanks for the support. That was weird.
And I think Twitter agreed that Jonah's Buck Dick Street was the line of the evening.
it was pretty fucking sweet. Buck Dick Street was pretty sweet.
Dick Street. Everybody.
Sometimes I try and think if I could have thought something better.
No, nope, Buck Dick Street was perfect.
Perfect for the moment. And thanks for all following Greta on Twitter because of her boobs.
There were so many. Who's that girl in the low cut top in the front row?
Who's that girl?
Who's that girl with the giant soup cans? Like Progresso soup cans. Like those are extra.
Yeah, no, I mean, and they're a delight. As is she.
That's fantastic.
The
special relationship moment was brought to you.
Oh, you're gonna, that's, the Ben Dunn.
Doozer has
who
some...
is an intern at the theater.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Yeah, but I'm glad people liked it.
No,
my family liked it.
I was genuinely surprised by not seeing any negative comments.
I saw four.
They were usually about the
one of them. No, one of them was that the guy just didn't want to watch. Because he hates me, and so he just didn't watch. Sure. I'm like, well, I can't take
that
as
over. Yeah.
And
then one person, said I was a waste of time and dumb, and why was I on BBC?
See, but that's not like where were those comments?
There were only a couple. Like, yeah. I mean, I went through every one because I wanted to see what people were saying, like what stuck out to them, what didn't stick out to them, like what they, It was really nice.
It's like a book adaptation. It's not gonna. It's a different form of media. It's not gonna be the exact same.
Yeah.
I just hope, like, even if the numbers on the show weren't amazing, which I don't know. I don't know. Yeah. But even if they weren't amazing, I hope that they would sort of look at the community that kind of rallied behind the show on all the social networks and see, like, hey, well, there is something there. Like, yeah. That's because that doesn't. I've done a million shows and I've never seen that. Maybe I'm just working on bad stuff usually.
Yeah. Well, it's. Yeah.
But anyway.
For me, it was like genuinely rewarding just to see it finally on television.
After all that year.
But it really was, though. I didn't. What happened was we shot the show and we didn't know that they were going to air it. And then they told us afterwards, hey, we're just going to air this. As a backdoor pilot.
Oh.
So I didn't know going into it. I just thought, well, if they don't do this, this is never going to see the light of day. Yeah. And then they aired it.
For me, in my first experience working on a television show like that, just like being able to see that David O'Doherty piece personally for me was cool because I got to, figure out what he was going to do there and then, send that off to David. And then they shot the footage, and then that came back, and then I sat and edited that for quite a while, and then it finally ended up being that, and I liked it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was nice.
I love David O'Doherty.
So clean cut in that.
Yes.
Now it's all back. He's all back to being Shaggy again.
Oh, he is?
Yeah, I saw a picture of him recently, just fucking beard and hair.
A little Shaggy right in Montreal. Back.
He was getting a little Shaggy in Montreal. But if you ever get a chance to see David O'Doherty live, getting Shaggy in Montreal, the David O'Doherty comedy special.
There you go.
I got so many great pictures in Montreal with people. I got to be posting stuff.
You got to be posting stuff.
You only had sort of outlet for that.
I don't know what to do. I just have these pictures. When I went to Fox Photo, and I went to the Photo Shack, and I don't, it's like, what do I do with this stack of photographs? What?
That's a good Tumblr for you to have, because you like posting pictures a lot, and when you post your pictures on the Nerdist site, you always usually like to make it into a whole entry, and that makes you post a little slower when you want to just post pictures. If you had a Tumblr, you can just pop them on Tumblr.
Well, I could I could pop them on Tumblr, or I could pop them, with on Flickr or
Crazy Nerd.
But I like the Tumblr. Just
I do have the Nerdist Tumblr. I just never use it.
Yeah.
There I do have nerdist.tumblr.com, but there's nothing on it.
Someone made a fuck yeah Nerdist podcast on Tumblr.com.
Oh my god, that's awesome!
Someone made a fuck yeah for us.
Oh, is that really?
Fuck yeah! Yeah.
Cool. I'm always just
usually just reblogs from me.
But hey, what are you gonna do?
Hey, yeah,
you blog about it a lot.
I'm always hesitant to splinter.
No, you don't want to do that.
The site, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, like if I start posting somewhere else, then people will start expecting that's going to be an outlet. And but I kind of want to just keep people on the Nerdist site.
I think it's a different kind of thing. I think it's like, you know, you don't. It's not a blog. It's just like a photo scroll.
Well, I'm about to refresh the Nerdist site.
That's right. We saw and saw it. It looks pretty.
So I think I might ask them to add like that functionality to it, just like some quick and easy
Chris's
like photo
pictures.
Upload. Yeah. Chris's pictures.
I gotta get back in. I've slowed down taking pictures.
Speed
in
up,
the past
buddy.
Year.
Speed
I
up.
Really,
get that camera. I haven't seen you with it in like a year.
Your
DSLR.
Yeah, I know. I just gotta get a new lens.
For the last 6 years, I've been taking pictures out of the windows of every hotel I've been in, and I have an album in iPhoto that is just called Views from Hotel Rooms, and it's hilarious to me because of. The
similar
the spectrum no just had the spectrum of like the just what you see out of a room of a hotel in any wow. given city.
You should just dump those all into iMovie and just put it to a song and just fucking
no
scroll.
One will watch it.
I'd watch it. I love photo scroll videos.
I was gonna do that because for a long time I was taking videos too of the planes that I was on taking off and landing like out the window.
Yeah,
even though you're supposed
that's
to turn
depressing.
Your phone
on. Yeah, I know. I have a couple of those on my phone. Just
that somehow is. Do you find it like? Interesting for you, or do you find it like, God, this is like, do you find it depressing?
And how many planes I'm on?
No, just like the views of the hotel rooms. Do you find that
some of
like,
them are
the
amazing?
Just, like,
some of them
you?
Are amazing. Like I was performing. I'm in Washington mm-hmm. State,
oh, and you can see Washington State.
Yeah, and then in the where the Microsoft DC. Headquarters are, where the
Reading.
Yes,
Redmond.
Yeah, yes, Washington. Redmond Pennington.
Yeah. Redmond, Pennington.
or whatever.
Oh, Chris.
And so, you know, from the hotel that I was in, I could see the water and a park and like. But then other hotels I'm in, you know, like if I'm in a small town doing a college, then I'm staying at like a
Motel 6 or well, not a Motel 6, but
well,
like
a Hampton
you know,
Inn or like
a
courtyard
or something.
And then you look outside and you see the air conditioning units
and
a lizard on the grass. Like it's just a fun.
When we stayed in San Francisco at Sketchfest, we the hotel I was at. I don't think you were you in the Marine Corps Hotel or whatever. What is
I don't
forget the name of that.
So.
But anyway,
I was near there.
Nonetheless, the I was on the sixth floor and my window happened to look out onto you know, just this alleyway and then a building right next to it, and it was six stories, and there was a dumpster at the bottom, and I just started throwing stuff into the dumpster and videotaping it.
Oh wow.
Hey Matt, you wanna go throw some stuff in that dumpster?
I did, and I enjoyed it.
Greg, get over here!
I had to throw out that chocolate-covered apple fritter that I was really excited about.
Oh, man, you were
chocolate
into that.
Chocolate-covered apple fritter!
Yeah,
that was the...
He was way into it, and then it it ruined him.
That apple fritter made me go on the diet.
Really?
Yeah. Was that it? Really?
That was the moment where I was
from
like...
From Sketchfest? Oh, yeah, it was right after that.
Yeah. I was like, really? I'm going to eat a fucking chocolate-covered apple fritter and get super excited
and it's
about
not,
it.
And it's, and then it's not deep-fried after the chocolate. Forget
and it's
it.
Just like... I was like, what am I doing to myself?
You know what I saw? There's a little coffee shop bakery near my place, Village Bakery, and they have a donut cupcake or donut muffin.
That sounds awesome.
It's so good. It's so good.
Sounds like a euphemism for a vagina.
Let me get up in that donut muffin. Let me get up in that donut muffin.
It does. Yeah. I was questioning it at first, but then when you said it like that, it did.
Yeah. I'm going to totally jam this thing in your donut muffin. your donut muffin smells
amazing. I was at a 7-Eleven. I saw that there's a new flavor of Muscle Milk cake batter.
Oh, I saw that.
First of all, the Muscle Milk is a vile sounding.
Yeah.
What does it do? Yeah. It's like
a protein shake.
Fat,
it's a protein
right?
shake.
Yeah, it's a protein shake.
It's a protein shake. Yeah. It's. I mean, if you're exercising,
so
they're good. Well, Muscle Milk. Here's the thing about something like Muscle Milk is that, you know, some people. Don't like to like I don't like to eat a lot of heavy solid food first thing in the morning.
Okay.
But if you're going to exercise first thing in the morning, you need stuff in your system. You need some carbs and you need some protein to get you through the exercise. And so so some people can do it in liquid form, and that's where those protein shakes come in, like Muscle Milk or whatever.
I couldn't have that on the diet, right? No, those things.
Technically he says the Myoplex stuff is okay.
Oh.
But that stuff is expensive.
My feeling is if you are exercising, you can probably be a little loose with that stuff because your body's going to burn it.
But I'm not lately. Like the weekends I do, but like...
Yeah, because I haven't heard gripe one about your back in months.
Yeah, that's true.
It's better?
It's been... I feel weirdly, I feel the numbness coming back as the weather's getting colder.
Really?
Yeah, I think because it's I think part of it's the arthritis, or the arthriticness of the back.
Yep.
I think the weather had really helped. The summer, I was fine. I could sit, go on planes. It wasn't a problem. And I didn't have to walk. You know, I still walked, but I didn't have to.
Yep.
And now I think it's coming back, but we'll see. That's why I'm sitting right now. I'm enjoying myself while I can.
Good.
You know, if it's a 4-month cycle kind of thing, I'm okay with my back killing me. Whatever. As long as it goes away for periods of time.
Yeah.
I'd rather have that than crazy
seasonal
back,
back pain.
Yeah. And then I tried to get contacts, and apparently you have to go get a whole other eye exam for
that. Yeah, because I got
to
make
sure. The shape of your eye.
Jesus Christ. I had to. My eyes have been bothering me lately.
Yeah.
It's probably because I have my face in a fucking computer all the time. And I'm supposed to wear glasses for reading. And so I went to get the eye exam, and he's like, well, you know, I can see your eyes are a little strained. You know, I'm not going to wear bifocals. So he's like, you know, I can't give you a nearsighted and a farsighted solution, but what I could do in glasses form, but you could put in contacts. And so he said, but I can't let you leave with them. You have to do this, like this orientation course with them. Not yeah. orientation oh, course, they but they had a teaching session.
Oh, okay.
Oh, they just tell you how to put it on.
Well, so I go over to the nurse or whatever, the assistant, the optometrist assistant, who clearly was irritated by, like, this. I couldn't understand why she was so irritated at having to show me how to do this again. And she even said to her coworker, like, I got to go do another tutorial. And I'm like, what the fuck? And then I sit down and I start trying to put them in. And then I see, like, this is the bane of her. This is the worst part of her day.
Yeah.
Because I can't get the fucking contact in my eye without it folding. Like, I have no problem poking myself in the eye. But I can't get my lower lid down far enough and my upper lid up high enough to get it in without the contact folding over.
Yeah.
So what's happening is I'm continually poking myself in the eye. I'm getting madder and madder. So, like, after 15 minutes, I'm like, fuck. All right, no, I got this. God damn it. You know, like, I'm starting to get frustrated because it hurts. Like, every time, you know, if you poke yourself in the eye 30 times.
I feel like I could do it. Like, I have large eyes and I can get them pretty wide open. So I really want contacts. I'm so tired of glasses.
Well, when I finally did get one in, I was like, I got them both in and I'm like, great. She's like, okay, but before I let you leave with them, you have to take them out and put them in again. And I couldn't do it, and I was running out of time. And I was like, listen, I have to go. This is the worst process ever. I mean, you know, with exception of, like, chemo or anything else. But
had to bring it there, okay.
But, well, I can't really make a...
Putting in context is
I can't really throw out a hyperbole or, like, throw out, you know, a superlative claim, like, it was the worst experience ever without kind of going, like, because, well, it wasn't the worst. But
because people who listen might take it too literally.
Yeah, they do sometimes. They do. And so I'm not a contact wearer right now, but it was really great when I had them in.
Yeah,
it just
really
relaxes. You don't realize how much you're straining your eyes all the time. But to have them in, you do because you wear glasses.
I'm wearing glasses, and it's just like, it's so frustrating. I'm tired of it. I don't know how you've done it as long as you've done it, because I didn't get them until I was like a freshman in high school.
Yeah, but the thing is, that, I mean, I've had them since the fourth grade. They're just kind of part of my life. I've done contacts here and there, but, you know, I grew up with them essentially, and now I believe I've developed a personality around being a guy with glasses.
I just have a montage playing in my head of you, like, hand in hand with a pair of horn rim glasses as a kid. Jonah playing with his best friend. They're a pair of glasses and they never end.
Yeah, I mean, they've just been a part of my life for so long, and I like it. I feel I'm a guy with glasses.
I've grown so tired of it. I think it's now I get. I have like multiple pairs of sunglasses, and I just hate.
Why don't you just get LASIK?
I hate having to carry these in because I have astigmatism, and my eyes or something. They can't do LASIK or something.
Are you sure?
Well, last I checked, which was a few years ago, so maybe now you can.
You should check. You know, come on, Moore's law. I mean, it wouldn't technically be Moore's law, but
I also don't want
every 18 months
lasers in my fucking eyes.
What was that? I don't blame me either. I don't know if I could do that.
That old Boris Hamilton joke. And he's like, you know, I've been wearing glasses for a long time, and they said, you know, they could put laser, they can shine lasers in your eyes, and you don't have to wear glasses anymore. I'm not about to have lasers go into my eyes, But if there's a procedure where I can get lasers to come out of my eyes,
yes.
I'll be the first in line.
I have a friend whose little boy said he saw an ad for laser hair removal, and the kid was like, "Why would you ever want to get rid of laser hair?"
Nice. That's great.
But he was serious. It's like the time when the Cleveland Indians, when Ricky Vaughn couldn't throw a pitch straight, and then they put those Wild Thing glasses on him, and then he could throw the ball straight.
Well, yeah, you know, every time you put him on, he has to go,
No, Wild Thing.
Shit.
Yeah. That wasn't real bad. It was a movie.
That wasn't real?
No, that was the movie.
What about any of Terminator 2? Because when he puts the glasses on, that's right.
Born to be bad.
Born to be wild. Born to be wild.
Wait.
Born to be bad was what he says in Terminator, I thought. But in Major League, it's Wild Thing.
Yeah, but it's Born to be Wild.
Born to be Wild is a is,
song.
Is,
I am referencing the scene in Terminator 2 where he takes the sunglasses out of the man's vest and puts them on.
Yeah.
Then he starts the bike and Bad to the Bone starts playing.
Yes.
And that's what I thought Jonah was referencing.
I can't remember.
No, Born to be Bad was from Twins.
Yeah, you're thinking.
When they get those shirts, and then he's got the Danny DeVito guy there.
And Born and This Way, the Lady Gaga song, is in Junior.
And Born to be Wild is what Steve Martin does on Wild and Crazy Guy.
Yeah. Born to be a Wild
Steve's
and Crazy Guy.
Steve's wearing loafers, no laces on his shoes. Born to be Wild. Yes, Chris Rider, we know that was the bit. All right,
you know what's a cartoon I've been watching a lot of? Adventure Time. Adventure Time is probably the best cartoon going on right now.
Is it because they inadvertently quoted our podcast?
I don't know. I've enjoyed the
art. There's some scene where someone says, "Enjoy your burrito."
Yeah.
Well, maybe they just...
We're actually telling someone to enjoy their burrito.
Probably. Yeah. If you watch the show, you'd get where that would happen. But it's a great, 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 great cartoon.
The piece that I saw of it was hilarious.
It's just, it's done, you know... A lot of the newer cartoons are just all kind of talking headsy. There's no real respect for the art of animation storytelling, where it's like, and the writers on the show are also like storyboard artist guys.
That's the way that it was in the old Warner Brothers days, like with Chuck Jones and Bob Clampett, and that's what John Kay did for Ren and Stimpy.
Exactly.
Is that the artists were also the directors and the writers of the show, and John Kay always had this thing that I'm a huge animation nerd. Yeah. So John Kay had this thing that he always would say. That if you can shut your eyes and still know what's going on in a cartoon, then it's not a good cartoon, that you're basically just watching animated radio, he called it.
Yeah.
That you're not using the medium the way that you should be using it.
Yeah, if you're not going to do stuff that, it's like, have a reason for being animated. When I was working on Super News, that cartoon, that was the guy who ran that all the time. He's like, give it a reason to be animated, which usually just ended up just being, anthropomorphic this or that.
Right.
But the Adventure Time, it's just constant verbal jokes and visual gags and just moments and stuff looking hilarious, all kinds of stuff going on, adorable character design, scary character design, dark moments. It's this incredible show.
Mosher that's fantastic. Loves it.
Yeah, it's so good. It's so good. And some asshole and fucking, I said that on Twitter and somebody was like, "No, I know you're a hipster." Yeah, because I like a cartoon on Cartoon Network.
I was like, what does that mean? I don't even understand.
No. A hipster would like Adventure Time because they thought it was dumb, not because they actually thought it was awesome.
I think it's incredible. I think it's one of the best.
I'm going to watch more of it.
What?
Who would give us a ruling, like the definitive guide to hipsters? Like, is there someone who has that?
I think we'd probably have to go to Judge John Hodgman for that.
Yeah.
Oh, I'd love to.
Stuff white people like, I think, is the closest that's ever...
By the way, my
favorite thing I ever read on that stuff white people like is restaurant menus that don't have change on them. So like a 5 next to it. $12, yeah. Like 12.
We're not wrong.
I remember 12. I saw that guy being interviewed, and they're like, "It's like, well, what do you, what gives you the right to like say all this stuff about white people?" And he's all, "Well, like, I." Because I'm one of them. Look at me. And he's behind him. He was at his home. He's like, "Look, I have a fixed gear bike mounted on my wall. I'm exactly this person." But that Pendleton Ward, that's a good guy. That's the creator of Adventure Time. He'd be rad to have on. I think I heard Ron Lynch's voice on an episode.
Oh, really?
I know Randy Litke and Davey Johnson have both done small voices on that show.
I feel like there should be a little Jonah Ray cameo.
I think so, too. I've done voices. I'm actually going to be a voice on a couple of these upcoming
Do a voice.
Cartoons.
What voice do you do? I want to hear what voice you do.
It's just exaggerated me.
Okay, what's that?
If they looked up the
That's
Twitter,
how old the cow was, too. And,
yeah.
If they looked it was up just the an exaggerated cartoon, version of me.
Yeah. Mine on the Super News, I was like, you know, played this character. If you know that Twitter cartoon, remember that?
Of course,
thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It was just as like, come on, Craig! It's just that. It's just like, you got to believe.
I love working in voiceover stuff because I love watching guys. You know, there's some amazing voiceover guys like Jeff Bennett and D. Bradley Baker and Rob Paulson and
John DiMaggio. Who's on Adventure Time.
John DiMaggio is fucking. John DiMaggio and Kevin Michael Richardson. You get those. Kevin Michael Richardson is so fucking funny. You get those two guys in a room, and it's like unleashing. It's like getting the Keymaster and the Gatekeeper together, and then all of a sudden, fucking hell breaks.
John DiMaggio is like one of the few guys in animation that once I saw him, I was like, yeah, that's what he would look like.
Yeah, that's exactly, the voice of Bender right there. Yeah,
he does the most amazing David Lee Roth. Most amazing David Lee Roth. And his Tracy Moore. To hear, I got to get DiMaggio and Kevin Michael Richardson on, because to hear them do, you've got to hear them do dueling Tracy Morgans. It's fucking unreal. That's what we got to do. We got to get them on.
Did I ever tell you, one of Deanna's favorite things that she's like bummed that we've never done. It was me and Kumail and Emily and Deanna were all driving down to San Diego.
Oh, okay.
We're all driving down to San Diego, and then me and Kumail just started doing dueling Ray Romano's.
boy.
And then just back and forth. And then Deanna's like, you have to do that. When you guys do that show, just both go up and then just do dueling.
I used to do that years ago with Janet. We would do dueling Owen Wilson's because she could do a really funny one. It was just,
come on, man. What are we going to do all this stuff for? Come on, man.
Which almost drifts into Kermit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Speaking of people speaking of segues, I am excited that we just recorded Ben Folds on the podcast last night.
Yeah, that was a fucking...
No, two nights ago.
Gorgeous. That was a gorgeous moment. I think that was one of my highlights of this whole process, besides being friends with you guys.
That'll post... Thanks. That'll post in a couple weeks, but Ben and I had become acquaintanced on the internets, and he said, you know, when I'm in town, you know, of course I'll come to the podcast, and he was... And so before we recorded, I said, hey, if I had a keyboard, would you play a song or two? And he said, you know, I don't really love playing keyboards. If you had a piano, I would play that. And I called Swing House and I was like, fuck it. We'll rent a studio, get a piano. We'll set up some mics. You know, we use their engineers and it sounded so amazing. I felt bad that at some point because Ben played a couple songs at the end to like two or three songs, he was going to stop and turn around and go, wait a minute, you just conned me into giving you a private concert.
Then he busts into the control room and it's just cardboard tape. And they're like, geez, are these onto
it's a warehouse, it's a facade.
And walls just fall down.
Yeah.
He was so fantastic.
Is it a field?
He was so fantastic.
Yeah, he was really cool.
He was great.
You know, it's weird when I didn't really even get into Ben Folds 5 until 2000. Year 2000 when I first heard Ben Folds 5, because as you know, like I talked about before, where you know I didn't really listen to much radio or really knew what was going on and you know major label music, and then I just I got really into like piano bands, and mm-hmm. I was like oh, here's a band with a piano, and I got a cassette tape of Whatever Never Amen, and it was just became for the next year.
It's such a good album.
It's all I listen to. I hear it still. And I continue to listen to it throughout, you know, since. But it's still like I hear it and it just takes me right back to graduating mm-hmm. high school, going on tour with my band and like getting them all getting angry at me because I put it on again.
When he played Cigarette, that fucking brought me crazy back in time to like freshman year of high school. And I was like, just like fucking like, whoa. Because I have not heard him play that. I've seen him live like 6 or 7 times. Yeah. I've never heard him play that.
Yeah, it was really incredible. It was a fucking amazing moment.
It was pretty incredible. So we have that. We'll put that out pretty soon. I also want to talk about for a second the Talking Dead, which I have not been able to talk about yet.
No. Oh yeah,
Talking Dead is a show that I'm going to be doing with AMC. That's a Walking Dead after show.
Yes,
and
live.
It was super secret. Like I shot the pilot 6 weeks ago, and And it was,
wasn't that secret. We knew about it.
Well, it's because we accidentally put it on the shared calendar.
We didn't.
That's right. Yeah. What is this? What are we, Walking Dead? What?
Yeah. So, yeah. So we shot the pilot in New York, and Scott Ian was on the show, and this comic named John Gabris. Do you know John?
I don't think so.
He was in a comedy group called Tibris, which is really funny. He's really, really good dude. And it was really fun. And so now we're going to do, for each episode this season of Walking Dead, we're going to do a half hour, basically call in, tweet in, whatever, and just sort of, hammer out the
details.
It's a wrap-up show. It really is just a wrap-up show. And we're going to shoot them in Los Angeles, and I'm so fucking excited.
Yeah, it's going to be good. I'm looking forward to watching
about it. Also, and I just hope I don't fuck it up. I mean, I'm obviously a huge fan of it, and a huge fan of Kirkman's, and a huge fan of everything, and so I just want to make sure that I don't want to break the egg. I don't want to break the egg.
I think it'd be great. You also got a good writer on there, Dave Anthony from the Walking the Room podcast.
Yes, Dave Anthony. Yeah. Awesome.
And it's going to be a good show.
I'm excited about it. They
don't forget
offered
about the podcast
me
about Talking Dead called Talking the Room.
But wouldn't that be a podcast where we just talk about the movie The Room?
Yeah,
Talking the Room. Yeah.
But it's the thing that's exciting. They offered me the episodes of The Walking Dead that they had edited to watch.
Yeah.
And at first I was like, holy shit, it's gonna be amazing. And then I thought, wait, I can't do that. I want to watch the shows week to week like everyone else, because I want to take the journey. I want to miss the show. I want to look forward to the show. I want all of my reactions on the show to be organic, and I feel like it's false of me.
If you do it like 3 weeks later, you're not going to feel the same way you feel about it.
Not only that,
plus you're going to know what's going to happen. You might slip.
It's the shows are going to be live. Number one, I don't want to slip and go, oh, well, that's when Lori does, oh, shit. But the other thing is that I genuinely want my reaction to be organic on the show rather than, I don't want to, in the back of my head, know what's going on and go, well, I wonder what's going to happen. Like, that feels shitty to me. So I'm very excited.
It's going
to
be good. They canceled Doctor Who Confidential.
I heard about that. Yeah. There's a Whovian uprising on Twitter today, I noticed. Today we're recording on Rosh Hashanah, also known in Hollywood as the holiday that Gentiles take off for some reason.
Is that why there's so many extra bagels today in Bagel Thursday?
Are you serious?
Yeah, there was a shitload of extra bagels.
You're not making a shitty
No, I'm serious. I was like, there's a ton, because I guess people aren't here. There are people that aren't here.
Now, see, that could have been interpreted. I'm glad that was actually a true thing, because it wasn't like, it's Rosh Hashanah today. Well, that explains why all the extra bagels are, like, it could have come off like that, but you didn't mean it that way. I'm just clarifying.
I got so many extra locks, you guys.
Now you do. Now you mean it.
That reminds me of Nick Kroll as Fabrice doing the thing about black people like fried chicken. You know who else likes fried chicken? Everybody. Because that shit is delicious.
Yeah.
And bagels are also delicious any culture.
Good bagel. I can't eat them though.
But so today is the day in the entertainment industry where a lot of non-Jews are like, hey, I'm going to take this day off. Like, really? You're not? Why? If you're Jewish, take it off. If you're not Jewish, don't take someone else's holiday.
Right? And they should be here on Christmas.
Ooh. Rough.
It's tough to argue that.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Come on.
I mean, they get they get 8 days for Hanukkah? Come on.
Take it off. You want to take it off? Take it off. Fine.
I got a new job.
What are you doing?
Oh, we haven't talked about this.
Yeah.
I know what you're doing, actually, but I wanted to set it up so you could explain, because it's really awesome.
Joan is the head of the universe.
Got a job as the head of the universe.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Can I have a wider dick?
Mm-mm.
Why not?
There was plans for your dick, Chris.
What?
Making it any wider would... I've said too much already.
Oh my God, Jonah!
No.
Please.
I gotta go...
Oh, the game of powers.
He was right, Chris. My dick, you're talking. Yes, I've gained consciousness. I'm a sentient cock.
Sorry about Doctor Who Confidential, Chris.
What? As you know, I have no eyes, but I can feel.
Anyway.
The stiff one eye. That's one of my favorite things from the movie As Good As It Gets.
Now jam me into a donut muffin and let's get out of here.
That one of my favorite lines is in As Good As It Gets, where it's like, you know,
make me want to be a better person.
No. Where it's like, Helen Hunt asked Jack Nicholson why he invited her along. He's like, I was afraid, Greg Kinnear's character, whatever his name was, I was afraid he was going to give me the stiff one eye.
Anyway, your new job.
My new
actually...
job. I will be writing and making sketches for The Soup.
Yay!
Soup proper. Proper soup.
Wait. You mean Web Soup? There another soup?
No, The Soup.
I don't know what that is.
Papa Soup.
Did we not?
I don't know what that is.
We're supposed to talk about this. He doesn't know.
Was there a spinoff of Web Soup?
No. There was one before that.
What are you talking about?
Bringing it back to Greg Kinnear. We're going to...
Joe, yeah. That reference was as good as it gets.
I like that people still refer to The Soup as Talk Soup. Like,
yeah,
guys, so you know it hasn't been Talk Soup since like the early aughts.
You know what's fucked up is that we'll talk about your job 1 second, but today I found out that the Xbox 360 has been out for 10 years.
Yeah, really? 10 years today because they're upgrading, they're going to do like a little like a Windowsy interface, right? The Windows mobile interface.
Wait, I can't believe how old that makes me. Anyway,
yeah,
your new job,
The Soup, Jonah Ray. Jonah Ray.
I'll be doing
working with executive producer of
KP Anderson.
Pilot.
Yeah, KP Anderson.
KP Anderson.
Jay James at Boyd. I'm excited. I'm scared. So that you know. But I'm as scared as I was before I started working.
Are you scared or skeered?
I'm scared.
You're scared.
I'm scared.
You're gonna be great. You're gonna be great on that show. You'll
but I'm as scared fine. As I was, before I started working on Web Soup, and I think that's a good feeling.
I think we should point out because people are gonna ask. Initially, Jonah was going to come work with me on Talking Dead because obviously you are.
Jonah.
You are head of the universe of zombies.
Yeah, I was, and they're always asking me to make their dicks wider. I'm kidding. They can't ask anything.
They can't
talk. They can't.
No.
They just used whatever dick muscle they have.
Yeah, yeah. No, Chris wanted me to write on the show, and as did I. I was very,
And then The Soup came along.
And then we were trying to figure out a way to do both.
And then that was impossible.
That was impossible.
And I never
I got
the call, but it's okay.
And The Soup is a year-round job.
Soup is a year-round job. I'll get health care.
Yep.
And I'll be in the guild.
Yep.
The writer's
guild. Felicia show?
Oh, it's a guild show?
Yeah.
And so because of that.
And on camera.
And you'll be on camera, and it's just like. Oh, I really want you on my show, but you got to take The Soup.
Yeah.
It's going to be such a good opportunity for you. I mean, Talking Dead is, basically 13 weeks.
Yeah.
And so,
It was just, it was hard though. It was hard though because, as much as I like having work, it's somewhat comforting it's scary and somewhat comforting when there's an end date.
Right.
You know, and just so you're, I'm not really getting much of my own writing done outside of the show, but there's a couple.
Listen
more
to
months.
These luxury problems.
Yeah, but I mean,
it's like, good though. As it's far like, it's
as
a
like,
nice.
As far as like trying to still progress myself as a comedian, I'm a lazy guy, and just trying like, and I I have trouble working creatively all day on a job, and then. Gearing up enough material to go out and do it at night.
Right.
You hear those
stories of Louis C.K. when he was writing on Conan, who would literally sneak away when he was in the middle of working, go to a set, and then go back and write until really late at night.
Well, that's exactly what Anthony Jeselnik did. When he got a job on Fallon, he would write all day and then he would leave and just do a few sets a night, come back, get up early in the morning, write on Fallon. And, it takes a lot.
That shit pays off, though.
It does.
There's no real secret to why most people succeed. Anyone can get a lucky break, but most people, it's that preparation meeting opportunity thing.
Yeah.
And, you hear about stuff like that and you go, well, yeah, of course they're doing well. They fucking, that's not a magic formula. It's like, they do little bits of work every day to get better and better. And then over a period of time, it just kind of, it matures and then pops like a zit. Like a happy work zit.
So I'm very.
When do you start?
I start on Monday. Ooh. Monday. Yeah, yeah. So that'll be neat. That'll be really neat.
Where's your cubicle? I'm gonna come say hi.
I don't know. I don't know anything really. But it's
now is Sunday my lucky Bunday, or is that Monday's my lucky Bunday? Monday.
Just another manic.
No.
Monday.
Men are on Monday.
Happy
my
Monday.
Lucky
Saturday.
Monday.
Yeah. Saturday morning.
No.
No, no Eels references?
No, I wasn't. No.
Hmm?
I'm going over to Susan's house.
She's gonna make it right.
Oh, I can do a pretty good E.
That is a pretty good E.
Yeah.
Yeah.
E plays croquet on Sundays. That's true.
That's a little pretentious.
Yeah. Well, you know.
Going over to Susan's house. I can't be alone tonight.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, it's the gruff. You can't do it for too long without blowing out your vocal cords. So I don't know how he does it.
Saturday morning.
His father, very famous physicist. Mm-hmm. Very famous physicist.
Did a documentary on him.
You did?
No. Oh. E did. E from Eels.
Like you did a documentary.
No, yeah. I you don't know that I direct and produce documentaries about
Jonas,
physicists.
It's a whole other.
Yeah. I am well versed in.
Didn't he come up with like a what would later end up becoming like a substring theory, maybe like a many worlds theory, like a parallel universes theory?
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff. And then there's some weird thing about his death where it was an accident, but it didn't seem so much like an accident.
Oh.
There's a lot of weird aspects to it. And that E's had a lot of
weird aspects to anything if you look at it weird.
Jesus Christ, Matt. Way to not take any road.
No, I just like
traveled or not.
I'm just reading.
Wait, so, yeah, sometimes, yeah, because sometimes things happen, and then another time it's just like whatever. But what are you going to do?
Organic reaction, Jonah. Jesus Christ, Matt. way to not take any.
Guess who's living here with the great undead?
I like
paint by numbers life. Fucking with Matt's head.
No,
birds
like
pick a road.
Because like every night I've been still reading.
Wait, did that?
I'm still reading the popular crime book by Bill James. Like I'm finally halfway through it.
It's not
like,
that popular though, is it?
Popular crime. The crimes in it.
Sorry,
are
yeah, I know.
Jared Grody has a bit about the magazine Popular Science. He was like, that magazine could just be called Science.
Yeah.
I love Jared Grody.
Yeah, he's great.
We got to get him on the podcast. He's funny as shit.
He's good.
Matt, what are you not taking a stance on now?
No, I'm just saying. No, and I was reading, and then I got to the chapter about the Kennedy assassination, and I'm just like.
And you wanted to play your ringtone?
No. Just the whole like the conspiracy thing, and then like Jonah saying that just made me go like, yeah. Well, you look at anything.
I mean, listen. I understand what you're saying from. A very pragmatic standpoint. I was a philosophy major. And at a certain point, when you're standing outside and you're with dudes who with beards and trench coats and they're chain smoking and they're like, how do you know the table that I see is not the table you see? How do I know that orange is? And you're, at a certain point, you're like, fucking, I don't know, but we have to eat we need a table.
Yeah. No, so I took out my distaste for that chapter in the book towards Jonah's story about E's dad.
You know what?
Yeah, you did.
We just had a nice open up moment right there. I feel like. We just moved forward a little bit with your guys' relationship, and that was very special. Yeah. They're holding hands now.
It's clammy. I like it.
Going over to Jonah's house. Donut muffin.
I had a philosophical tweet the other day. I was, do you hear what I hear is the only philosophical Christmas song.
My friend Scott Grimes used to say that the Christmas Bells song is the most evil sounding song.
Bronger has a bit about that.
My friend Scott Grimes used to say that. Who's someone else we got to get in this goddamn podcast?
Yeah. Bronger has this new bit. I don't know. I can't really. I don't want to like because it's gonna be on a special. But it's just.
Don't say it then.
Yeah.
But whatever it is, it's funny.
It's so good. He's gonna be doing that up in Portland with Matt Dwyer hosting and Ron Funches opening or middling.
We got to do another comedy special, I think, for the Nerdist.
December.
You want to do one in December?
Yeah.
Good.
We'll all start thinking of.
I got a couple names to throw at you.
Yeah, I got a couple names to put in there as well.
Should I send you an audition tape?
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
I'll make sure it sounds as good as it did last time. It sounds like an album last time. I'm pretty happy with that one.
Yeah.
Girl, I'm gonna fuck your donut muffin.
It probably won't sound as good because the equipment's totally different. I don't know why we got rid of the shit that I had bought for that space.
Excellent grammar, number one. Two, what happened to the equipment?
got returned, and then we got different stuff, and it doesn't work as good, and that's why the live recording.
Oh, I got to flag you right there. It doesn't work as well. Thank you, though.
You know.
You just lost your grammar cred.
Yeah. Anyway, this coffee.
Welcome to the Grammar Slammer.
Anyway, this coffee tastes real well.
No, Jonah. Mm-hmm. The coffee itself does not have taste buds.
You just said it's not good. It's well.
So you're talking about linking verbs that can sometimes be used as action verbs. Taste, feel, smell, sound, look, appear, become, seem, grow, remain, stay. Those work as linking verbs and as action verbs. That's different in that case that you were using.
Hey,
Boyd Vico. Go grab Boyd to come in here for a sec, will you?
I'm not as fast as you guys.
That's true.
That's true.
What?
No, that was good.
He's not, though.
He's not. He's not.
He doesn't have to be.
I don't think so.
I don't think he has to be as fast.
No, not at all.
I'm like a rabbit. A Volkswagen rabbit.
I'm like a walrus, surprisingly fast on land.
You're like a walrus cuckoo-ca-choo. That brought the conversation to a halt the same way someone who blurts out, "We are the knights who say knee," would bring conversation to. Oh my God, I just watched Time Bandits again last night.
Yeah,
and
holds up.
And you know what? I never absolutely.
Here's what we learned: don't send me to get anything because I don't come back with it.
Oh, you missed him.
He's got a haircut appointment that he's going to right now.
He's got an appointment to go see Haircut 100.
Oh.
Red, love, wow. Love plus one. Okay,
one
so I watched. Okay, anyway. So we'll get Boyd on again another time. But so I watched Time Bandits again last night. I watch a movie every year or two.
So weird. You like the movie so much, but you rarely watch it.
Well, I don't know. A year or two is good.
How often do you give watch you the things sense that you love besides Ed Wood, for instance? Like, do you watch movies like tons?
Used to. Maybe.
You don't anymore.
So here's what I found out. So the end of Time Bandits, spoiler alert, the movie's 30 years old, so hopefully you've seen it by now. If you haven't, too bad. But Kevin's parents blow up at the end because they touch pure evil.
Yeah.
And then the movie just ends. And you're like, what the fuck? And so I was reading, and it never occurred to me before, like, I never thought to question why he would just end the movie that way. And so I read an interview that he did for the 25th anniversary of Time Bandits a few years back, and it's the fucking greatest story, I think. This could be cool story, bro, which is what you say when someone tells a shitty story. they shot the movie, he blows the parents up at the end, they screen the movie for a test audience, but there's a problem with the sound. And so half the people leave, but the people who stay sit through this warped sound system, like something's wrong with the sound of the movie. And so they ask on the comment cards everyone to say, what's your favorite part of the movie? And they all write, to be cheeky, the end. In other words, we couldn't wait for this movie to be over. But the studio interpreted as, wow, they really love the ending.
Oh, my God. That's
and so
amazing.
That's how the ending got left, is the parents just blowing up.
That's incredible.
Yeah. And also, I learned some other stuff, that Sean Connery was supposed to be in the final battle scene when they go through time and bring everything back.
And his Zardoz? Yeah. His Zardoz effing?
Yeah. So, but what it turned out, they only had Sean Connery for like a day. And so they had to shoot all his stuff like right away. And they could not get him back to shoot the end of the movie.
Oh, man.
So they didn't get him back. But I also didn't realize that all of the little people... each represented one of the Python crew.
Oh.
For the record, I don't normally misuse the term good.
Oh, my God. Fucking let it go.
Matthew Myra's comments will be stricken from the record.
I'm very tired.
Are you still on that? Okay, Matt, I let you out of the Grammar Slammer.
Thank you. All right, back up. What's
you
up, guys?
You done good. Does that make you feel better? No, I'm talking in your vernacular
your
now.
Eyes.
Those are
what? Your eyes are looking at me with distaste.
Well,
your eyes are looking at me with distaste.
I hang my head down in disgrace. Yeah, your eyes are looking at me with distaste.
Oh my God, I love that.
Should we do record that? Any quements?
We are out of time.
Oh, thank God.
There were quements, but we didn't get to them.
Didn't get them. There were questions, there were comments. We had questions, and we didn't get to it. Yeah, good stuff.
I think we did a really good job today, you guys.
I think we did a well job today.
Mm-hmm.
I think we did really well.
We did well, really well livid.
Wait, is that now you're fucking with my brain because I'm tired. You can do a really good job.
Yeah.
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 Yes. Yes. Adverbs modify adjectives. Yeah. Adverbs modify adjectives.
Yeah. I minored in English.
Oh, very you know what's minor. Coming out on American DVD?
I'd say the most minor. What?
Star Trek The Next Generation. Oh.
Snuffbox.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Holy shit. When does that happen?
I think it's next week. They're, Rich Fulcher and Matt Berry are in town.
Oh, they're in town promoting Snuffbox. That's right. Of course.
Yeah. They're doing that thing with Schraub, Rob Schraub, and
God
Steve
damn it.
Agee
Rich Fulcher emailed me about coming on the podcast, and I just fucking forgot to email him back because I got it when I was getting on a plane, and then we landed, and then I forgot to get back. Then I had already read it.
Scramble.
That's what you get for getting on
trying to scramble and get him in next week.
I mean, we can even Matt Berry, please?
Yeah, of course. Yes. We get them both on. We're getting both on.
Fucking cunt.
Dag.
Speaking of donut muffins.
We should get them on. That would be good.
That would be amazing.
You know what else would be good is if we could all just...
get along.
Yeah.
You know what else would be good? You saying if we all just get along is the same as the, quoting Knights Who Say Knee or saying I'm the law for
I am the law. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that was the equivalent of that was the American equivalent of that.
American.
America.
Not just America.
Hey, there's your new compatriots, Soup Writers.
Oh yeah.
There they go, Tess Rafferty and Lee Farber. And another guy I don't know.
The guys that are not gonna like me coming in.
Telling them how to do their shit.
Well,
we didn't do it like this on Web Soup, you should say a lot.
His plaid, really.
Not looking.
Looks exactly like
not looking forward to New Kid Syndrome. All those
you're
guys
not
have been
have
there.
New Kid Syndrome. You already, already know
it.
You.
He'll get it.
They already know you.
I felt it. An attack for like 2 weeks. And then it goes away.
You know what else goes away?
This podcast?
This episode.
Yeah.
This episode goes away.
We really petered out, didn't we?
What if we... No, we didn't. I don't think we did. I mean, there was a time I went
guys,
to...
Guys, just let it peter.
Okay.
Enjoy your burrito at Susan's house. She's gonna make it nice. Yay!
Yay!
Susan.
Take a left turn, Wilshire Boulevard. A kid asked, do I want some burritos?
See me live.
Stand up.
Where?
Funnies.
I'll use proper grammar.
Our tour.
Oh, yes, our shows that we're doing live?
Yeah, the ones, yeah.
Chris has too much going on right now.
Shut the fuck up. There's never enough. How dare you suggest I should be left alone with my thoughts to process my own feelings? How fucking dare you? Must stay busy.
You know what? You're right.
Input.
Guys.
Input.
After dinner, I was thinking I might go out and get another job. What do you guys want to do?
You should.
We want to turn it into secrets.
What are you talking about? Hey, yes, buddy. What are you talking about, buddy?
Yeah. No, about free time. You can spend it.
Buddy, hey, I'm going to, you know. Yeah, hey, hop on this bench press right here and bang a few out, and then I'm gonna go drink some muscle milk and
white ropes.
Some honeys. Yeah, some honeys.
No dark weeks for me, buddy. Just get ahead.
Oh my God, we're never gonna be asked back here again. Enjoy your burrito. Oh wait, one more thing before we enjoy our burrito.
Yeah.
Fucking moratorium on the horror. That's become its own genre of film of nice, responsible couple moves into a house with fucked up ghost kids. Enough!
Oh, yeah. What's that one?
There's a Daniel... Yeah, there's a fucking...
Paranormal Activity 3.
Well, there's that one. There's another one that doesn't look that bad.
I'm sure it's fine.
You know what I rewatched the other day? Poltergeist. Fucking great.
It is.
Yeah, but the effects don't hold up.
Well, you know...
When he's pulling the face meat off in the sink, I as a kid, that fucking unwound me. And then I watch it recently, and I'm like, "That is what his hand comes up weird into the frame."
Well, now,
yeah,
the effects for Star Trek: Next Generation will hold up thanks to the Blu-ray.
Matt, I can't help but seem to think that the only stand you've taken is that the Star Trek Blu-ray is coming out, and you can't suck its dick hard
Here's
enough.
What I'm saying. Paramount, please send us each a copy, and then bring in LeVar Burton or something. We'll gladly interview them.
I'm sure we could get LeVar Burton.
Well, let's.
We're going to get Brent Spiner.
Let's make that happen. Let's make both of these things happen.
We are. We will. Okay. We got Sir Patrick Stewart. We've had on Will Wheaton.
You got Sir Patrick Stewart.
What do you want me to do? You want me to get
you
fucking...
You got Sir Patrick
What do
Stewart.
I need to do? Get Gates McFadden and Denise Crosby up
I'm
in here? Do I need
I'm
to fucking
listening.
Draw out some Michael Dorn?
I don't... Dorn would be great. Crosby, yep. I'm not sure, would be that entertaining. Gates McFadden would be fascinating because she used to be a Muppeteer.
Yeah. Hey, oh, she's awesome.
Yeah. So
John Delaney, what do you want? John Delancey? I'm sorry, I was thinking of Rob Delaney. John Delancey?
John Delancey would be great.
All right.
So many people would be good.
You know what occurs to me? Nick is the Q of on the Nerdist podcast.
Yeah, he shows up.
He's
episodes.
Got this weird control center here where he controls. He can. It's like he has the ultimate power in the universe, and then he pops in whenever he feels like it and plays around. Just Nick is then. He's not here today. Nick is the Q of the Nerdist podcast.
Monka Bitan.
All right, you ready? This time,
enjoy
your
burrito.
Okay, why were you guys so not sure?
Well, I just didn't know if you were going to finish it or if I was supposed to come in.
Yeah, okay, that's fine with you. Well, that's fine with you. Then he already...
I've never said it.
It clearly went... He was like enjoy, you know.
And then he was supposed to resolve.
I was supposed to go your.
No.
That's what I thought.
No.
And then I got confused when I had burrito.
That's what you get for having thoughts.
What else would you have? Were you still like, maybe I say your again?
No, But I thought I should have gone. And then
now, Matt, do you think your is enjoy your burrito, Y-O-U apostrophe R-E?
You need to calm down.
Enjoy.
Like
you are burrito.
Okay.
I'm
first
totally
of all,
I'm sorry.
In prompter today, I fucking had an apostrophe S.
Enjoy
Matt
burrito.
Matt put an apostrophe S
hours,
after a plural.
14 instead hours. It was not a possessive. Yesterday, I wrote that.
Okay. I'm sorry. Listen, I add apostrophes to things,
you know
too.
What?
Like
you don't.
Sometimes
you
I spell
don't.
My name C-H-R-I apostrophe S when
we're
I get
here
tired.
We're to learn that you don't do that because you're the best at everything.
I'm glad we finally have all admitted that. And by all of us, I mean just you, sarcastically. Sarcastically, I'm in charge.
So you've never said enjoy your burrito?
You know what fucks me up is the... I don't think I have, no. You know what fucks me up is the... This is boring and I won't bother with it. But I'm just saying, in the system we use
you
to
proceed.
Write a prompter,
yet
because
you proceed.
I feel like someone at home would be like, no, say it anyway, even though it won't be entertaining.
Well, then
and
that
I'm
person's
gonna,
an idiot.
That's fucking
no.
Weird.
Oh, God. Oh, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Okay. I wish we had gotten video of that. We're in our... Oh, that scared the shit out of me. We're in our... Just like those guys on that sports show when the earthquake happened in New York. Okay. So we're in our little glass box studio here in the EG4 building. And someone is pushing by like a stone mannequin statue. Yeah. And so it's just like this rock person. So not unlike a weeping angel.
Yeah,
just like
by.
Floats by. Yep. And because you can't see the person pushing it, and you can't see its feet. So it just looks like it's...
My reaction was not to jump like Jonah did, but to go, that was weird. And then Jonah jumped. That was very enjoyable.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Well, that's a good place to end the show right there. And
man.
Next week, you can talk about all the behind-the-scenes stuff about how teleprompters work.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
We'll dub that the most interesting show ever.
Enjoy your burrito for the fourth time.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
Behind every successful business is a story, and some of them might surprise you. Like how Chobani's first yogurt factory was discovered on a piece of junk mail. Or how the founder of the multi-million dollar cosmetics brand Drunk Elephant was told by everyone, including her own mother, that the name sounded like a dive bar. I'm Guy Raz, and on my show How I Built This, I talk to founders behind the world's biggest companies and brands to learn the real stories of how they built them. In each episode, you'll hear entrepreneurs share moments of doubt and failure and talk about how they were able to overcome them on their way to the top. How I Built This is like a masterclass in innovation and creativity, a how-to guide for navigating life's challenges from the people who've done it all. Follow How I Built This on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to How I Built This early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus.